Deuteronomy 6. It's a biggie. If you're an Old Testament fan, Deuteronomy 6 is a high point. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
All righty. These are the commands, decrees, and laws. Everybody say law. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me, this is Moses, directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Who wants long life? Who's rooting for short life? Yeah, give me short life. Yeah, not a lot of people. Everybody, he says, this is so you can enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Can I get a witness on that? As the great Shema of Israel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Lord, we thank you for your law. We thank you for your commands. We thank you for your decrees. Lord, that you give us the ability to live in right relationship with you, Lord. That you give us the ability to overcome the challenges that we face as we live our lives in 2017. Lord, as we put a focus on you and as we, Lord, move into victory, that we might know you better and give you praise. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Talking about a view of victory. This is not. This, I'll tell you what, the end of last year, which is, I guess, was last week. We were pressing. Anybody like the lights up here we got? New lights, yeah. We got all kinds of different lights, and we got all kinds of stuff that's going on. And the end of the year was a press, and I was tired. I needed my brain a chance to kind of just unwind. And this lady was selling this bass guitar, and it had a hateful message scratched with a knife from what I assume was a young boy to his father. And I didn't realize the mess. I realized it was all scratched up, but I'll tell you, when I took it apart and I saw what was written in it, because it was all scratched up, you know, my heart just kind of, oh man, such pain. And such hurt being affected by a kid to his dad. And so what I did was, it took me about 4 or 5 hours to just sand all the finish off on this. And this is what you call, that was not the way this bass is going to sound. I mean, some of you might give me a little sound clip, you know. Just trying to grab on to what the Lord gives us. But anyway, this is called a sunburst finish. And you get this little edge on it. And so I was sanding it, got to seal it. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, this is looking good. And put my color in the middle right here. It's looking good. And then I got to start putting this brown on the outside and not looking good. The one thing they tell you is don't put on too much. Light coats are better. Well, I had a mental lapse. You know, everybody, you ever have that happen to you? You know, just have a mental lapse. You got your victory all in front of you. It's all good. And then all of a sudden, mental lapse happens. And so my my burst has busted. And people ask me, Pastor Bob, you ever done that before? I said, no, I never done that before. So, oh, wow. I said, I'm going to learn how. You can learn new things. Amen. And Lord put this before me that I could just kind of relax and sand, and I messed it up. And sometimes we mess up our lives. Amen? Amen. It doesn't mean we can't have victory. It just means that it pushes a couple steps down the road. Amen? Now I'm going to have to sand this off a little bit, and I'm going to put some more layers of this burst on there. And one day I'll bring it, and I won't play it. Maybe Teddy will play it one day, and we'll just see what victory is like. Amen? Amen? Joe, you leaving? Man, victory is here, not leaving. All right. Brand new year, 2017. I got to ask you, did you get enough victory in 2016? Asking another way, how much victory did God have for you to get in 2016? Did you get enough? Did you get enough for Him? Because He has placed each of us in position for victory. Can I get a witness on that? Some of us, it require us living at a whole new level to move into that victory, and that is a challenge to us. It'll require learning something new, just like me learning how to do burst on this guitar and sand and to do all that kind of stuff, living at a whole new level. Some of us are accustomed to living in loss. Many of us are living making poor choices, and even when we win, we lose. Amen? Lord says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and forfeit his very soul? Some of us are working so hard, rushing just as hard as we can, and we are heading away from the victory that the Lord has for us. And so I am hoping through this series called A View of Victory that we can establish some precepts for individual victory. Sound good? Anybody looking to lose in 2017? I want 2017 to be the year of loss. No one, huh? How many of you say, man, I want all that I can get in 2017. I want to be all that I can be. I want all to grab onto all that the Lord has placed in front of me so I can be a great witness and a great testimony for Him. Because that is an opportunity for all of us. That the Lord has called us into victory. If we're going to get that victory, we're going to grab onto that view of victory, we're going to have to grab onto a view of God that is accurate and understand who He is and what He wants for us. A major key of our victory as individuals and as a church is to move towards God and to let Him move in us and to guide and direct us. In the coming three weeks, we're going to focus on some of the basic premises and purposes that we have for the church. And the first one we're going to take a look at is the one that it's written all over the place around here. We depend on God. There's three others. We depend on God. We develop people. We desire the presence of God, and we display the love of the Lord. We're going to spend the next 2 months looking at these four items. We depend on God. We break that down into three. First, we'll find a focus on the Father. We are going to walk in the Word, and we will be empowered by the Spirit. Amen? Yes. If you look to 2017, if you could just take a look and look into the future, and you saw Aaron Buggs, and people came at the end of 2017 and said, that's a man who had a focus on God that whole year. You take that, Aaron Buggs? Oh, yes. Roki, somebody came up to you and said, man, you have walked in the Word so steadfastly in 2017. Show me how. You think that that would be something that you could shoot for? And being empowered by the Spirit, Pastor Paul. People came up to you and 2018, said, man, if I could move in the Spirit the way that you move in the Spirit, would that not, doesn't that just kind of make you feel good? So if we can live our lives depending on God, and what happens is we would rather have autonomy. Yeah, God is fine, but I want to stand on my own two feet because I want to do what I want to do. And if I depend on God, I know that I got to do what He wants me to do. Now, before I knew the Lord, I didn't want to have anything to do with Him. I wanted victory. Amen? And nobody anywhere is looking for loss. And I thought I knew how to find victory and victory and victory, and my victory just became loss and loss and loss and loss until I hurt so bad I said, God, you can have my life. I've destroyed it. And He took it. Anybody relate to that? Amen. See, man, when you have had enough hurt in your life, and the Lord says, I have victory right before you. The whole idea is to find out how much you can depend on Him and how much you can rely upon Him to have the victory that He places before you. Amen? So we're going to be talking about that in the next couple of months. We're going to get a view of victory, and today we're going to start with a focus on the Father. Because if you didn't have enough victory in 2016... that's how we'll get some victory in 2017. Amen? All right, here we go. Deuteronomy 6, 10, and 11. Danny, I need you to close off that music that's playing in the background. Please, freaking me out. Deuteronomy 6, 10, 11. When the Lord your God, this is right after the nine verses that we read, the great Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? So what Moses does is gives the Israelites a way to live this out. So we're going to read on. When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, we're going to continue on. God has a focus. Click back on that for me, Danny. Danny. Click on that thing. Very good. God has a focus on His people. You see what He hooks them up with? Cities, with wells, with vineyards, with olive groves, with houses, with all kinds of stuff. Ladies, how many of you decorated your homes for Christmas this holiday time? Put in some effort. My wife did. Nest makers doing all that kind of stuff. Is it amazing that God provides His people with homes that they did not build? Amen? They are, as we take a look at Deuteronomy, it is called the second law, or like the second chance. And Moses gives Deuteronomy, the second law, to the children of Israel as they are amassed on the east side of the Jordan River. Modern day Syria or Jordan, east side. And they are looking across the Jordan River at the land of promise, the land of their inheritance, the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, it is the second law because they messed up the first law. They thought that they could do better. They thought that they could win better. God has said, I'll give your enemies into your hands. That is like victory that is assured. Amen? You still got to fight. If you don't fight, you don't win. If you don't fight, you can't get victory. God has given all this cities and wells and vineyards and olive groves. He's given it all to His people. Gives them everything that they need. And God still gives His people all that we need. Amen? Amen? The challenge is oftentimes looking for what the Lord is giving. Because what happens so often that we were looking for something else. And we start asking God to give what he's not given. The Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above. Amen? And the problem with the Israelites and the problems with those who live in city heights is rather than looking above, we can start looking sideways. And we start saying, that looks pretty good. Can I get some of that, God? And that looks good. Can I have some of that, Lord? But if we look above, that is where God is given from. Amen? But it's not good enough. Wasn't good enough for them. Paul got it figured out. He says, I have learned to be content in every situation. It's Philippians 4:12. When you get to focus on your Father, it's a whole lot easier to keep your victory in sight. Amen? Amen. All right, let's keep going. God's people can lose focus. Have you found that to be true in your life? Yes. All right, here we go. Let me just take it back. He says, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful to wipe your chin. No, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And Moses is telling the people, when you cross the Jordan, when you head into the promised land, don't forget where you came from. Some of us can do that. Amen? We can think that God didn't help us out so much. We can start thinking that things weren't really so bad back in the day. We might do well if we went back. Moses says, don't forget that it is God who made the change in your life. Peter, the Apostle Peter, tells us, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we are chosen. That we are chosen to be a royal priesthood. A holy nation, God's special possession. That God chooses you in the darkness. See how I come in the darkness. Pulls out to the light. That you would be something special for him. Amen. And so often we don't want to give up ownership. No, no, no. Thank you, Lord, for taking me out of the darkness. But I'm not really ready to give up full ownership yet. Can I get a witness from anybody? Amen. He says, don't forget where you came from. Because it wasn't pretty back then. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, yeah. He says, you're a special possession of God, and he has chosen you out of darkness, brought you into light that you might declare the praises of him. He's got a job for you. And a lot of us think, man, I don't want to do a job. I want God to do a job for me. I want God to hook me up. He says, don't forget that he rescued you from slavery in Egypt. New Testament tells us that God rescued us from slavery to sin. Hung on a cross. Don't forget, it's the Lord who delivers you. And because the Lord delivers you from slavery, there's a debt there. He has a claim on you. I go out to the skateboard park, and these kids, they want to acknowledge sin. Because you got no sin, you got no deliverance from sin, and nobody gets to lay a claim upon you and your own. The Bible says you're not your own, you're bought with a price. There's no price, then I'm my own. I can do whatever I want. Amen? That's the problem with the Israelites. They're thinking, hey, I can go back. Egypt wasn't so bad. And we can think that about our lives. We can go back. Because we don't want to be a slave. We don't want to have a debt. Paul says, Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ, doulos, a slave, a bond servant. I live my life knowing that there is a price that has been paid for me. I can never repay it. But there's an allegiance and alliance that I have in my life as I look and keep my focus on my Father in heaven. Amen? You keep your focus on your Father, and it's a whole lot easier to keep that victory in sight. Amen. Don't get lost. God had the children of Israel on the east side of the Jordan. They're looking at Jericho. Remember, the walls of Jericho fell down. God says, you march around it for 7 days. On the seventh day, march around seven times. They used to have chariot races on the top of the walls of Jericho. That's how thick they were. No way you break those walls down. God just blew them down. It wasn't like there was, it was even a challenge to him. Don't forget, God places you in a position of victory. My question for you is, where is your victory in 2017? Did you get your victory in 2016? Because they still had to cross the Jordan, and it was a miracle how they did it. And they still had to take Jericho, and it was a miracle how they did it, but they still had to take them. Amen? Amen. You're going to move into that victory. You're going to have to step into it. God will put it there, but you got to step into it. Amen?
Amen?
I saw a victory last Sunday morning. Adriana's son, Caleb. How old is he?
6.
He is 6 years old. But he wasn't sitting with mama. He wasn't sitting with dad. Dad was here last Sunday, Christmas Day. With his brother. No, he was sitting right over here. And he was smiling. And I'm looking at that, I said, look at Caleb sitting right there next to Miss Kyra. And I came up to him at greeting time. And I said, so Caleb, who is this? Big old smile. You get that Caleb smile rolling. It's my teacher. You know, that's a victory right there. You know, you think about the people that had impact in your life when you were 6 years old. He'll never get you out of his head. Miss Kyra. You'll always seem 10 feet tall to him. He could grow up to be as tall as Joe. And you'll still seem that tall. Miss Kyra spoke into my heart. Victory right before you. You got to step into it.
Amen.
Amen? All right. Let's keep going. God's involved. God's involved in Kyra's class. God's involved in this worship. God's involved in the kitchen downstairs. God's involved in all of it. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Deuteronomy 6:13, fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Don't get a lot of preaching on that. Fear the Lord, serve the Lord, and take your oaths in his name. It's like, that's so Old Testament. Yeah. But the victorious life is a focused life.
Right.
You keep your focus on the Father, and you will be able to keep your victory in sight. Amen? He has a victory that is intended for you. It is to overcome the challenges of the enemy and declare the praises of him who has rescued us. Amen? Three areas of focus. Fear the Lord, serve the Lord, and take oaths in his name. Now, Matthew 5, Jesus said, don't take any oaths. Well, the oaths that they were taking, they were ripping people off. And they were using their oaths to lie and to deceive people. And to say, oh yeah, if you swear on this, it doesn't mean anything. If you swear on this, it does mean something. So they're really just... They're not honoring God at all on that. But I wanted to cover that because somebody might say, wait a minute. Put our attention on number two. Serve God only. This can make life real simple. Joshua 24. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? You go look outside. You walk down University Avenue, Elkhorn Boulevard. There's all kinds of things that you can serve. You go online. You can serve all kinds of stuff. You can get your eyesight going sideways. Get your focus off the Father. You can lose sight of your victory because there's so many things that get you off track. Amen? I'm so glad that you did not get off track last night. As you look around at those empty seats, there are those who did. But we're going to come back to number two. Here we go. Serve the Lord only. The focus on the Father. Victory will stay in sight. Now the fear part. Tire. Tire. You shall fear the Lord. You say, wait a minute, Jesus is my buddy. Well, God is your deliverer, and God is your judge. Can I get a witness on that? Church is filled with people today thinking that they are doing God a favor just by showing up. God's our judge. God says, I have called you for a purpose. I have positioned you for victory. You're going to move into that victory. You better show up. Can I get a witness on that? You're going to move into that victory. You better keep a focus on me because I am moving you into a God-sized victory that you will find failure if you try and make it on your own. We'll go through together and you'll move into victory. Amen? Let's keep going. God will get angry. Wait a minute. God doesn't get angry. Well, let's just read the word here. Can we do that? Do not follow other gods, gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. Wait a minute. God is not jealous. Who told you that? Right here. Bible says, Moses writing, God is a jealous God. And his anger will burn against you. And he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. God will get angry. And you know, I got to think that the children of Israel, as they are amassed on the east side of the Jordan River, that there were two people older than 40 years old. Caleb and Joshua, because the entire rest of the generation had just died because they had tested the Lord. They had turned sideways rather than keeping their focus on the Father. And so when Moses told this second generation and gave them a second opportunity and said, don't forget God because God will get angry, they're all going, oh yeah, God will get mad. Because a whole generation had just perished. Can I get a witness on that? Sometimes we don't see the judgment of God. We think, hey, he's far away. And he's my buddy. And he's really not paying attention. And I think I can get away with it. You ever feel that way? Oh, God's far away. Even though Jesus says, two or three are gathered, I'm right there with you. Moses tells the Israelites, God is in our midst. And he's saying God is paying attention and God doesn't forget. Amen. When you get in a contest with God, you will always lose. Don't test the Lord. You can start thinking, you know what? God's supposed to be on my side so I can win, so I can have my victory. If this begins to happen to you, and you start thinking that God is owing you something, that God is owing you a victory, immediately do an about face and put a focus on the Father. Because you put a focus on the Father, your victory will stay in sight. Amen? I'll tell you, I was doing some work this morning. I'm going, Lord, Lord, Lord. I remember Miss Kyra, and I remembered from last Sunday, I remembered Roki standing right up here. He's taking an offering, and he was so emotional. His voice, he was barely keeping it together. Anybody? Amen? He talked about the pressure that was on him with his promotion at work. And he talked about how he had begun to turn sideways with the Lord and had turned sideways with his family and had turned sideways with his wife. And that he was so far gone, he didn't even realize how far he had moved. And his wife, in her faithfulness to God, and her faithfulness to her family and her faithfulness to him had so blessed him that he began to realize immediately how far he had come. And he did an about face right up here. Said, oh, Lord. Said, oh, my family. And he said, oh, my wife. You give him a whole bag. My wife is the best wife around. Sorry about all you other guys. Now I'm putting my focus on my father, and I'm going to be moving into my victory. Amen? Amen. I was blessed by that, Roki. I'm sure everybody else was too. Things go better with God.
Amen.
God's ways are winning ways. Be sure. Be sure. When you read be sure in the Bible, you know what that means? Anybody take a guess? It means be sure. It's like, I'm not joking. I'm not messing around. This, be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he's given you. It is God's recipe for success. It is God's recipe for victory. Commands, stipulations, and decrees. And there is enough there. There is enough. I mean, I'll tell you what. You split some time on Deuteronomy 6. There is enough that it will keep your attention. God gets your attention. It will keep your focus. Keep your focus on the Father. And it will keep your victory in sight. Moses says, you want to keep your victory? Lean on the Lord. Live your life with an utter reliance and dependence on God. God sets you free, and then in his word, he gives you a way to live in right relationship with him. He set his people free from slavery in Egypt. He didn't say, you do this and I'll set you free. They said, Lord, let us go. Set us free. He set them free, got them out of Egypt, and said, now this is how you live with me. Amen? I cried out to God because of my sin. I said, God, you can have my life. I have just destroyed it. He says, I'll take that. Let me show you now how to live in right relationship with me after he set me free. Amen? That's what these commands, decrees, and stipulations are. It is a way in which we can live in right relationship with God. You might be thinking, why am I do too much? I might mess up and have too much God in my life. I might be working too much of his law, working too much of his commands, and too much of his decrees and stipulations. Well, if you do that, you'll just end up with that much more victory in your life. Amen? I have yet to come out after I have devoted myself to the Lord thinking, man, I have been ripped off here. God, you have just ripped me off. Because the more I focus on him, the more I move into the victory that I can only get through him. Amen? Amen. Some of you guys might not like our new president, but one of the things he said was, he goes, we're going to win so much, you're going to get tired of winning. When you put your focus on God, you will be moving into heavenly victory, and I have yet to get tired of heavenly victory. Amen? Amen. Sorry to bring up president and all that stuff, but just popped in. God will line up on you. God will line up on you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it might go well with you. Not just winning ways, but that God moves on your behalf. Amen? God does miracles on your behalf to aid you in your victory. The stuff also works. but there's a supernatural aid component to it. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it might go well with you, and that you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord has said. The more you're lined up on God, the more he's lined up on you. For the Israelites, he had promised a land flowing with milk and honey. The first set of Israelites refused to line up on him, and they died in the wilderness. You can read the Old Testament. It is a story of the people of God refusing to yield their lives to him. And it never works. We can learn from that. Can I get a witness? It was the children of that first generation that lined up on God and end up taking the land. They moved into the promise. God has a promise for you. God has victory for you. Paul tells us about it, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's handiwork. You have been set free from sin, slavery to sin, so that you can be free to do the works which God prepared in advance for you to do. Everyone in here is not saved to be saved. You are saved for victory. You are saved to make impact for him. My question for you today is, did you have enough victory in 2016? Did you have all that he had for you? Or did you miss some? Devil's a worthy adversary, right, Rogue? He will get you off track. Okay. But let's not lose out because we start looking sideways. God has a place for you, and God has a plan for you. You grab all of him, you get your best life. You grab his place and keep your focus on him, and you get your best victory. Amen? Joe, I need you to go get your mom. Thank you. It's not anything to do with the sermon. She just has to play music shortly. I don't want you to... No. You become invincible when you line yourself up on God. Your fullness comes when you find a focus and live dependent upon the Lord. God's positioned you, there she is, for victory. If we're going to have victory in this church, it's because we put a focus on our Father. We're going to have victory in this church. It's because we live lives dependent on him. We go places that we can't go on our own. We go places that are risky because we can't go there alone. We can only go there with him. And that is the dependent life. If you want to live safe, you will have victories that you can win. And they will be small in comparisons to the victories that the Lord has placed before you. They are scary. For the Israelites to cross the Jordan in flood, it took a miracle of God. They're going, how are we going to do it? For the Israelites to take Jericho, where the walls were so thick they could race chariots across the top. How can we do it? God says, you can do all things through me. So 2017, you can take it on your own, and it'll be a lot like last year. Or we and take it with the Lord, and we will be radically transformed and live lives of victory. Amen? Lord, Lord, I thank you that you are good and mighty and awesome. Lord, I thank you that you come to this very place, that you will pay attention to all the choices that we make. I thank you for each person here, Lord, that focuses so much on you to get up early on New Year's Day and to come to worship, to come to receive a vision for 2017 that will dwarf 2016. Lord, I thank you that you are right here in this room, that you're a healer, deliverer, comforter, and judge. We live our lives focused on you, and our victory is in sight. You're here this morning. You're here this morning, and you missed it in 2016. Lord is saying right now, you missed it. You're saved. You're going to heaven. You know the Lord. You're not living in sin, but you missed the great challenge. You missed the great victory. He says, you didn't lean on me. You know me, but you didn't risk all on me. We're going to sing in a minute. But the Lord's speaking right now to your heart. He says, I am with you this morning. I am right here, and I've been paying attention to you. And this year, this is a year to risk on me. This is a year to depend on me. He's saying that to you. And you're saying, Pastor, you're saying, Lord, I want to move in a whole new level this year. I want to depend on God in a new way. I want to stand on my own anymore. Nobody looking around. That's you. Why don't you slide your hand up and say, Lord, here I am. I want 2017 to be different. Right here, yeah. Back here, amen. Everybody else says, that's me. That's me. Back here, amen. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. The worship team is going to come. You want 2017. Lord's not speaking to you. Lord's speaking to you. Invite you as we sing this song. Draw me close to you, that the Lord would draw you and you would just come up here, just kneel down and say, Lord, whole new level. Lord, I want to lean on you, I want to depend on you, and I want to know victory, Lord. New victory in you. Hallelujah. Let's sing. You want to pray? Pray. I want to pray with you.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Yes, you are, Lord. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Lord, help me find the way. Bring me back to you. Thank you. heart will draw me close to you. Never let me go. I'll lay it all down again.
Yes, Lord, again.
To hear you say that I'm your friend. Lord, you are my desire.
All of you, Lord.
No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace.
May we feel you this morning, Lord.
Lord, help me find the way and bring me back to you.
All the way back to you, Lord, walking every day.
You're all I want. You're all I want, Lord. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
You're all I want, Lord.
You're all I want. And you're all I've ever needed. You're
Lord, we thank you that you are near to us, Lord. Lord, as we move through this year, that we can have a purpose in our hearts, Lord, a focus in our souls that comes from heaven, Lord, that you draw us into mighty acts, Lord, that you move among us. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. We have one more song. Praise the Lord.
I look at this as one of our favorite songs here, our signature song at Calvary, at City Heights Assembly. But you know what? I picked it because I want us to start this year off praising the Lord every day. Like Pastor Paul was saying, we wake up and we praise him and we just give him each day. And as we make those commitments here at the altar, maybe some of us didn't come forward to the altar, but we're making those